I'm not quite sure who it was that came up with the idea of printing Bibles with certain parts in red letters, but it's an old acceptable practice. But some parts of the Bible, I think, ought to be printed in gold. And today we look at one such verse. I've often asked people, what is your favorite verse in the Bible? I know what Gary's is, Romans 5:8, and some other ones. And today we're looking at one of these golden verses. It's one of my favorites. And as a pastor, I've often had to share this with people that need it. I've often read this chapter with people that are discouraged, hurting, lonely. And then when I come to this verse, I dwell on it, because this is a precious verse. And with God's help and your prayers today, I'd like to bring you a message on verse 11 of Isaiah 40. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who were with young. You'll recall from my testimony last week that even before my conversion, I was much moved by what Jesus said when he said, I am the good shepherd. And the Bible often uses this analogy. God is a shepherd. Remember, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And the Bible says, we are his sheep. And it uses this analogy. It doesn't say the Lord is my cowboy and I am his steer. It says, he is my shepherd and I am his sheep. And that's because it's a very precious one and the Jews would understand it. So when Isaiah says here, God will feed his sheep like a shepherd, they were nodding their heads saying, yeah, we've seen shepherds do this. And what Isaiah is saying is, well, God's like that. He's like a shepherd and we're like his sheep. And in this verse, we see three little hills, as it were, and each one there is gold in them. The first one says he will feed his flock like a shepherd. And boy, we could dig deeply into that quarry and see lots of good gold that he feeds. And how does God feed us as a shepherd? Well, he gives us daily bread. He feeds us through the word of God and he gives us his very life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. We could also go into the third hill here and dig gold where it says he will gently lead those with young. That's talking about mother sheep that are with their little young lambs, and that we sometimes are like that. We're so encumbered with the concerns of this world. It's like we have little lambs to take care of. You mothers know what that's like when you have little children, or when you have so many concerns, you feel like one of those circus jugglers with 12 things in the air, and you say, I'm afraid they're all going to come down on me. And all the concerns in life, and you say, oh, I'm just slowed down. Well, Jesus understands. And so he gently leads those who are with young or that are encumbered with other cares, such as caregivers that are not as free with their time as they used to be because they're now so much concerned caring for an elderly parent or a spouse or maybe a sick child or a handicapped relative, or they have to work two or even three jobs. They're so encumbered. Jesus understands. And notice the adverb here. He gently leads those that are with young because he knows and he cares. But I'd particularly like to concentrate this message on the middle of these three hills, which says he will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. That's precious. He not only feeds and leads, he gathers and carries. Let's take a look and see what it says and what it means for us. He uses the analogy here of lamb. And notice it's a lamb, not just a full-grown sheep. And it's certainly not a ram that's got all that strength behind it. It's a lamb. And the good shepherd has to carry this. Now, what's the symbolism here? Well, obviously, God is the shepherd. We're the sheep. And in a sense, we're all lambs. But in a special sense, this is a certain kind of Christian that's weak. And it might be like a lamb that's very young, a young Christian, maybe a teenager or a child that's come to believe in Jesus. Or one that's very weak, or maybe a brand new Christian. But when I think of this, I think, well, it's using the analogy of a lamb that needs to be picked up and carried. Is it because it doesn't know how to walk yet? Well, lambs learn how to walk very quickly. But sometimes a lamb doesn't walk and it needs to be carried for another reason. That it's tired and it just drops down there and it doesn't have any strength to get up and walk anymore. So the shepherd has to pick it up and carry it back to the flock. Or in some cases, that lamb has hurt itself. It's got caught in the thicket, or it's twisted its ankle or something like that. And so it's not tired. It's hurt. It's wounded. And it's bleeding. It needs to be lifted up and carried by the good shepherd. And so sometimes Christians, it might be full grown sheep, become like lambs because they've been hurt. They're wounded lambs. And I think that this is what's indicated here. And as Christians, sometimes we get deeply wounded. We're hurt. We're devastated. Some experience, something has happened to us when we just can't go on. We can't go on one more inch. We just say, this is it. I'm just too tired to go on. I hurt too much. I'm devastated. Maybe your heart has been broken. And when I think about that, I think, well, what are the ways that we get wounded deeply? And we end up like that wounded lamb that has to be picked up and carried. Well, think of what happens. Sometimes we're wounded by other people, a friend, a relative, and we're deeply wounded. And you know that the closer they are, the more they can wound us with their words or actions. When I pastored back in Dallas, I will use illustrations today, not from this church, but from there. I remember one day a woman phoned me. I could tell by her voice she had been deeply wounded and she needed help. She says, could you come over real quickly? So I said, yes. Dropped everything, came over there, knocked on the door. She opened, big old tears, but she had that look of shock. It hadn't completely set in, but I could tell she was deeply wounded. And I said, Karen, what happened? She said, my husband, he's leaving me. And he was just here an hour ago. And I had suspected something was wrong. I had no idea. And I said, well, what happened? She said, he said to me, I'm not a Christian, never have been. I only pretended to do that and to say that I loved you. I married you for one reason, to get your daddy's money. And I see I never will now, so I don't want you. And he literally threw the divorce papers in her face. Well, she was devastated. Just put yourself in her place. She was devastated. And she just mumbled, help. Wounded lamb. Earlier this summer, I met another wounded lamb when I was on vacation. And, you know, pastor never really is on vacation. And I was over there and I met another preacher I knew. And he said, you know, I wonder if you could help me with a hard case. And I said, well, sure, what is it? He said, well, there's a man that he's really been through a devastating experience. And I wonder if you could kind of say a little bit, a little encouragement. I said, sure, of course. So we had lunch and the man was there. He was in his 30s. You could tell this man had really been through something rough. He had that look in his face, and you've seen that in people's faces, and he was devastated. And I said, well, what had happened? And the pastor shared a little bit. His wife had not only ran out on him, but ran out with his best friend. Ooh, I mean, not only was the knife in, it had been turned, and he was just devastated, and he broke. He just couldn't handle it. He tried to take his own life with a box cutter from ear to ear. And he still had the scar, and he had just come out of hospital and counseling, still devastated, the poor man. And I shared some things and encouraged, and this was one of the verses that I read to him. And afterwards, I just went over and just gave him a big hug. And I said, I know, and Jesus is going to carry you through this. He was a believer, but he was a wounded lamb. So sometimes we're wounded by other people. Sometimes we're wounded by ourselves. Our own sin catches us out and we dabble with sin. We think we can get away with it. You see, a lamb sometimes will sneak away from the mama sheep And the mama sheep has that instinct, will kind of nudge it away from certain things, and it's almost as if to say, honey, you got to eat this grass. Don't eat that. That'll make you sick. But sometimes the lamb will get away and look at those certain kinds of flowers and will dilly-dally over there and munch on those flowers. And an hour later is on its side, you know, sick and wounded lamb because of that. Friends, we're like that. The flowers of the world will draw us away and we'll get into something kind of naively. I'm not saying innocently. It's still sin, but naively we don't expect the circumstances. And we dilly-dally with something, and before you know it, we're hooked on that drug or liquor, fooling around with some woman or a man out there. We get caught in something, and we now begin to suffer deeply. The Bible talks about this over in Galatians, where it says, if any man is overtaken in a fall, he didn't go into it with his eyes wide open, but he's overtaken it. It's a sin. And it's like he's trapped in a bear trap. How do I get out? And he can't. Again, another case back in Dallas. One Saturday afternoon, a man named Keith phoned me up. Again, I could tell by his voice something big and bad has happened to him. So I said, I'll be right over. Came over there. And I was wondering, what has happened to Keith? You know, we hadn't seen him in a few months. And maybe he... And I didn't want to guess. So I just said, well, he'll tell me. The moment he opened the door, I could tell in his face what had happened. AIDS. He had been messing around with homosexuals, picked up HIV, and the doctor had said, you are not only HIV positive, you've got AIDS. And it already began to show. He was devastated. He just sat there. He didn't weep. He didn't sob. He heaved. He was like, what have I done? What have I done? I'm going to die. And I know what all this is going to bring me. And he did later die. We buried him about 2 years later. It wasn't awful. It was ghastly. I never want to see anybody die of AIDS again. But, you know, in all that time, especially that one day, he never once blamed God. He never blamed those other guys. He kept saying, I did it. I've got only myself to blame. I am so sorry for what I have done. And he just wept and wounded lamb. I think he was a believer, but he'd been eating some of those flowers. So what I'm getting at is, friends, as believers, sometimes we end up being wounded, deeply devastated, broken. And we need the good shepherd to come and gather us up in his arms and do what only he can do. So sometimes it's other people or ourselves. Sometimes it's circumstances. And sometimes it's Satan. Look in the Bible and you find a man named Job. He was a wounded lamb. I mean, first all of his children were killed in one day. Imagine what that would be like. And he had lots of them and they were all killed. And then on top of that, he lost all of his belongings and he was a wealthy man. And then on top of that, he got some kind of disease that was very painful. And they didn't have medicine and doctors back then. Poor old Job. And on top of that, his wife turns on him. Oh, but Job, you still got those good friends of yours. And one by one, they come in and they jump on him. Couldn't even get help from his friends. Poor guy. And then later, one guy wanders by and he jumps on him too. Poor old Job. Wounded lamb. So it could be any of these. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have been a wounded lamb where you're just decimated. You're devastated. And you say, I'm holding on by my fingernails. I don't know if I can go one more day. Some of you have never quite been there yet. You probably will. Almost everybody sometime or his life goes not only into the valley, but into the deepest, darkest part of this valley. So whether you've been there or will be there, I want to bring you a message of hope from God's word. It just may be somebody here is in that condition. Maybe you are a wounded lamb. Well, that's when we are broken. We feel as helpless as a lamb. Now, what does a lamb do when it's wounded like this? Well, it doesn't know very much. It's just helpless. But by nature, it does something. It starts bleating out and it makes that sound. And, you know, it's interesting how animals make noises and we can't figure out what it is, but other animals know what that is and the tone of it. I've noticed sometimes when I'm down at the Daniel Ranch and out there hunting and, you know, some little calf gets away from its mother and it's out there and it starts making that noise, and not one cow will perk up its ears and the other ones ignore it, but it's because it's the mother and it'll notice something in the tone of that calf. Like, is it hurt? Is it away? Is it in danger? Well, in the same way, a lamb will bleat in a very pitiful way. It sounds like a crying baby. But in a certain way that it's crying out for help from its mother, because the mother's not there. In the same way, as a Christian, when we're wounded, we bleat out to, we cry out. Who do you cry out to? Well, we should cry out to our brothers and sisters and friends and family, but that wounded lamb wants its mother sheep. And in the same way, we have a spiritual instinct. Every Christian, when it's deeply wounded, cries out for God, cries out, literally cries, sometimes can't even speak it, but bleats out, Father, Jesus, help, I hurt. We cry out instinctively. I read something not too long ago. I've often studied World War II because my dad was in it and in D-Day. And I was reading about the medics on the D-Day invasion. And they said, it wasn't quite like the rest of you that weren't there. And we thank God for some of our people that were there, noble heroes. But they said that the men that were wounded on the beaches there, they said, they weren't, you know, saluting the flag and saying, I pledge allegiance when they were in great pain. So, oh, every now and then some of them would be saying the rosary, you know, Holy Mary, Mother of God, Holy Mary, Mother of God. Some of them would be saying, Our Father who art in heaven, Our Father who art in heaven. He said, but the thing that most of those soldiers were saying when they were in great pain, afraid of dying, these grown men, tough men, soldiers, they were crying out, Mama, Mama. They were like a little boy. Hurt wants their mother. And in the same way, friends, as Christians, when we're deeply hurt, we don't just want other people, we want Jesus. There's something about us, we cry out, Jesus, Father, come to me, help me, I hurt. And he hears that cry. There's a word for this in the Bible. It's the old Hebrew word Abba. And that's the Hebrew word for not just father, that's Ab, but Abba is like daddy. Mama, it's like that deep instinctive cry for a parent. Galatians 4 says that God has put his spirit within every Christian so that in times of distress, we cry out, Abba, Daddy. A preacher friend of mine was in the airport at Jerusalem once, and he was waiting for the flight. He saw a little boy by himself and he was crying out for his daddy. And the little boy with tears was saying, Abba, Abba, Abba. And here comes this grown man comes running to him. Well, that's what we do when we're deeply hurt. We cry out to God as our Father, not as our judge, not as our teacher, but as our Father. The word Abba is used one other time in the New Testament. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that the next day he would be suffering, dying on the cross, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. I thought of that word Abba years ago, again back in Dallas. A friend of mine was a Christian and a lawyer, and he says, hey Kurt, why don't you come with us and the family? We're going to go to Six Flags. So I said, yeah, sure. So there we were, and he had all a bunch of little kids, and they were all real small, and we're out there and looking at the rides and the cotton candy, and Charlie and I were talking, and somehow we just kind of wandered in this direction and left one of the children by herself, and she happened to be the youngest, about 4 years old. Well, you can guess what happened within just a few moments. We were over there and she was left all by herself. And a little girl looking at all these lights and strange faces, terrorized, you know, afraid. And she didn't go over there and say, I want some cotton candy. She just was crying, yelling. And you know, little children, when they really cry, they stretch out those words. And she was saying, Daddy! and tears were just coming down her cheeks. You wouldn't think a little 4-year-old had that many tears, but they're just dripping like a faucet. Daddy! Well, as soon as Charlie heard that, he didn't about first. He says, Kurt, let's go, let's go. Where's Katie? And poor little girl. And Charlie picks her up, kisses away the tears, pats her on the head, and carries her. She didn't want a policeman. She wanted her daddy. In the same way, friends, when we are deeply hurt and we're afraid and we're overwhelmed, we don't want another person. We don't want the president or some philosopher. We want Jesus. And we cry out to him and he hears us. Our cries touch his heart and he will come immediately. He's touched just like a mother when hearing a baby cry, or a father when that little girl cries. The Bible says that as Christians, we walk through the Christian life, just like sheep are to walk following the shepherd. And you know, sometimes there are good times when we not only walk, we run. Boy, things are going good for us, and we feel like we can run like an athlete, run like the wind, like a football player. But sometimes we don't run. Sometimes we don't even walk. We crawl. And sometimes we're so wounded we can't even crawl. We just lay there like a wounded lamb, hurting, crying. And we're dazed. Some of you know what that's like when you're so hurt. It's no longer just, what happened? What do I do? It's almost like your mind clicks off and you are drowning in negative emotions. Wounded lamb. And we can't even move. We need to be picked up and carried. When I was a child, I remember once growing up in New Orleans, and in this neighborhood, there was always new houses being built. And in New Orleans, of course, being little boys, we never liked to wear shoes and socks. We always wanted to run around barefooted. Mama would let us do that at home and in the backyard, but she would say, don't you go over to where they're building houses. Don't let me catch you over there barefooted. She knew that there'd be nails, and we'd always want to sneak out and go over there. You know, you go to a construction site when the workers are no longer there, they might just leave something. And I guess I could say this. We'd look for those little pieces of metal that they'd cut out, those little slugs. Take those slugs, put in a Coke machine, get a free Coke back in those days. Now, that was before I was converted. But anyway, we would want to stay away from those construction sites. Mom would say, don't go over there. Well, my brother did. One day he sneaked over there and looking around, trying to see what he could find, barefooted, and he stepped right on a nail, barefoot. And he cried out and he went down wounded deeply, and he cried out. Well, Mom and Dad were not at home, but I was, but Uncle Bob was there. So I said, Bobby ran over there and picked up my brother and carried him home in his arms. Now, you see the picture here? We sometimes sneak away from God and go where we shouldn't go. And we step on something that really hurts and it wounds us. And we're not able to walk back like the wounded lamb or like my brother. We need to have someone go and fetch us and pick us up and carry us back home and wipe away the tears and bring us to the doctor. That's just what this verse says Jesus does. Look at it again. He will gather the lambs with his arm. This is interesting, his arm. The Bible says, underneath are the everlasting arms, strong. I still remember my father carrying me. He had strong arms and strong shoulders. Jesus carries us in his arms like this. We need to be picked up and carried. But notice what it says here. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. That means up here. Elsewhere in Luke 15, Jesus told a story about a shepherd that went and found that one lost sheep out there. Left the 99 and went out there and found that one. It says he carried that one sheep back on his shoulder. It says here in his bosom, why there on his shoulder? Well, there's a difference. That one probably wasn't wounded. It was probably just tired. And something else, though. He had to go a lot longer distance, and he had to use strength. When you want to really lift something up, you don't just use your arms. You put your back into it. Some of you remember that weightlifter, Paul Anderson. Some of y'all remember him. He still holds the record for the biggest lift in history. He did win the Olympics, but he did a back lift. I remember seeing a picture. He lifted a whole car off the ground on his back, on his shoulders. So the picture is Jesus will carry us with his strength. But this is a little bit different here. He doesn't so much have to use his strength, but his love. Look at the text. He gently leads them and carries them in his bosom, up close here. Because that poor little wounded lamb is not only hurting, but probably afraid, feels totally helpless and vulnerable, and needs the shepherd to carry it up close here. Why? Well, every mother knows why. When that baby's crying or hurting or something, you lift up that little baby and just instinctively hold it up to your bosom next to the heart so that it feels the warmth of your body and instinctively feels and hears the heartbeat. You see, when that baby spends 9 months in the womb, it's used to the warmth of the mother and the beating of the heart. And so when that baby is now hurting, lonely, whatever, afraid, it needs the security back with mama. And so a mother instinctively does this. Now, men don't realize this. Women, we're dumb. Men don't know how to... You ever see a father try to hold the baby the first time? They feel like their fingers are taped up with duct tape. They don't quite know how. I'm half surprised they don't grab it by a leg and say, you know, hold it upside down like a Thanksgiving turkey. You know, what do I do with this thing? But mother won't do that. Mother instinctively knows you hold it up here and pat it and speak softly like that. That's the picture here in Isaiah 40. He will carry them in his bosom. Very close to the heart of God. Yes, God does have a heart. Bible speaks about that. Bibles, we talked about that 2 weeks ago. It says David was a man after God's own heart. And there's a lovely song we often sing at the nursing home where it says there is a place of gentle rest near to the heart of God. And that's what the wounded lamb needs to know, is the love and the security as well as the strength and the protection of the loving shepherd. And friends, that's what we need when we are hurt, when we are devastated. That's what you need when you are totally broken. The girl you love doesn't love you and you're weeping your eyes out, or the one that was close to you has died. When you're a wounded lamb, you need the security of the love of your heavenly Father. And he'll be right there and will hold you next to his heart and carry you. Notice what it says. Not just holds them, but carries them. I was reading Charles Spurgeon's sermon on this, very interesting, and he said, sometimes I wish I was a little lamb so I could ride in that chariot again. He had a way of putting it. And there are times, you know, a little child misses being held and carried, and they'll almost want to be carried again, so they get piggyback rides and so forth. But we need to be carried and loved by the Good Shepherd when we can't go on any further. We're hurting, we're not able to walk. Remember this, friends, because sooner or later you're going to be a wounded lamb. I'm not sure where this thing came from. Maybe it was loosely based upon it. But some of you have probably read that little, I don't know, poem, whatever it is, called Footprints in the Sand. You've seen it. Connie's nodding her head. I've seen little plaques, and some, I think, has even sung it. And I'm not sure where it came from, but it was popular a few years ago. I remember even Ronald Reagan, when he was president, recited it at some speech. But for you that don't know it, I'll tell you the gist of it. It was about a man that said he had had a dream, and in the dream, he was looking back over the sands of his life, and he saw the footprints, and he saw at one point there were two sets of footprints, and that's when he became a Christian. And he said for his life, Jesus was walking right through him. He says, and I could see back then, yeah, that's when I got married, and here's this. And he says, yeah, but look at this place. There's only one set of footprints. And he says, that's when I was in the hospital. And then he saw another point, one set of footprints. And that's when he went through a really devastating time. And he said, Lord, the times that there's only one set of footprints, that's when I needed you the most. What? I can't understand this. And the Lord said, those were the times I carried you. And the footprints were his, the Good Shepherd. I'm not sure if the story is true, but the point is true. Friends, there are times when our life two sets of footprints. They're even running together when we run with Jesus. Other times they're walking slowly. And sometimes there's only one set of footprints. The good shepherd carrying the wounded lamb. There'll be times like that in your life. When it's just the Lord Jesus carrying you for a space. Notice something else in the text. It says he will feed his sheep. He will gather the lambs. He will do this. This is a promise. And God doesn't break promises. He doesn't lie. What he's saying to you, my dear friends, is down the line, he knows. He's foreordained certain times when you will be hurt. You will be devastated. He knows where they are, when it's going to happen. He's waiting for you. And he's telling you in advance, he's going to be there to carry you. You see, that's what I said to that man back in New Jersey that had slit his throat. I said, Jesus will carry you through this. I didn't say, you know, he might if you trust him and do this. He was a wounded lamb and he was a child of God. I said, Jesus will carry you through this. You don't know how you can live another day or 6 months from now, but Jesus will see you through this. And that's the promise that Jesus is saying to you, too. If you are one of his lambs, he says, I will carry you through this. You may think that it's darker than night. You don't see how you can go another day, how you can live through it. He says, you don't understand. I do. I will carry you through this. So just climb in my arms and I will carry you. And one day we will face the deepest time in our life. One by one, we will all have to cross that river that separates us from heaven. And one by one, the lambs will have to get into that river. It's a very personal thing. When our time comes to die, that will be the deepest wound in our life. Maybe we'll be elderly, because elderly people are like wounded lambs. I often think of that. I preached on this, gave them a little taste of this at the nursing home this week. I looking at those dear folks, I felt like they were all lambs. They were very helpless. But the time will come for all of us. We will be helpless lambs when we come to die, because we can't stop death. We can't put it off. We're as helpless as a lamb. And people are often very fearful of death, even Christians. But on the authority of God's word, I can guarantee you, when your time comes to die, your good shepherd will come and pick you up and carry you across the river into heaven. He will. He promises. He has never deserted any one of his wounded, dying lambs. Let's give three lessons as we wrap this up this morning. Number one, it says Jesus will carry them in his arms and in his bosom. How do we fit in if we are not the wounded lamb? Well, here it is. If you're not the wounded lamb and you're a Christian, you're part of the body of Christ. You're his arms. Be available for Jesus to use you to minister to other people that are wounded. You may not be wounded, but they are. Volunteer to say, Lord, use me. I want to be your arms to lift them up, to go to them, to carry them. Some of you have been wounded lambs and you know how the Lord has ministered to you through other Christians. And you say, thank you so much. The Lord used you in my hour of need. We need to be available. I mentioned earlier, poor old Job, that poor guy. I don't think any of us have ever been nearly as afflicted as him. He lost all of his family, his wife, and all these others. Wait a second. You ever wondered, what should they have done? What should his wife have done? Well, she nagged him and said, well, curse God and die. What should Mrs. Job have done? By the way, it wasn't just Job's children that got killed. It was her children as well. She was grieving. It wasn't just his belongings that got burnt up. It was her house and ranch and all that burnt up too. She was grieving, but she reacted in a different way than Job. She said, curse God. And he said, bless the Lord. He has given and taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But the question still stands. What should she have done? Well, he should have been an arm of love to her and her to him. She should have said, honey, let's go to God. Let's trust God. He's going to see us through. But she didn't. She turned bitter. Sometimes Christians get a little bitter. My point, though, is we should help someone else. When those friends came to Job, they jumped all over that poor guy. They knew he was hurting. They knew he was a wounded lamb. And though God was carrying Job through that, what should those three friends have said? I'll tell you what they shouldn't have said. What they shouldn't have said is what they did say. They said, Job, there's some big sin in your life. You're holding out on us. What, you got another woman? What's going on? You're worshiping idols, Job? All this wouldn't have happened if you'd been on the straight and narrow. Job, it's all your fault. They jumped on him with both feet. They shouldn't have done that. And Job kept crying out, guys, help me. You're my friends. Where's that friend in need? Is a friend indeed? And Job said something in Job 6:14. And there's a big lesson for us. He said this. He says, to him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friend. And they didn't. Let's apply that. You may not be the wounded lamb. Do you know someone that is? Go to him. Be that friend and show kindness. Be part of the arms of the good shepherd to lift him up and to wipe away the tears. So there's the first lesson. Secondly, this is a precious promise written in gold for Christ's lambs, but not for his enemies. I read what John Calvin said about this. You know, this great theologian could be, he was also a pastor, and he said, this is for Christ's lambs. He says, it's not for the wild beast. Imagine a good shepherd carrying a snarling wolf in his arms. No way. So what Calvin said was, we need to let the good shepherd tame us and transform us into lambs. My point is this. This is a precious promise for believers, every believer, but only for believers. If you're not a believer, this isn't applied to you. You need to become a sheep. He needs to become your shepherd first. So you turn from sheep, from your sin, and say, Lord, I want to be one of your sheep. But think ahead, friends. If you're not a believer, where do you go to when you're devastated? When you're heartbroken, when your heart is torn asunder, where do you go? Well, maybe friends or someone else, but you need the good shepherd to lift you up and carry you. But if you don't have him as your shepherd, you're lost. Come to him and let him be your good shepherd. Thirdly, this is a great promise of the good shepherd to his sheep. He knows. He sympathizes. You see where I'm going with this? He knows he's been there. Jesus is the wounded lamb. 2,000 years ago, a great prophet pointed at Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And when Jesus went to the cross, the Bible says, he was wounded for our transgression. Jesus knew what it was like to be devastated and to be hurting and to cry out to his Father. And the last thing Jesus said on the cross was, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And his Father carried him in his arms. Jesus knows. And as it says in the book of Hebrews, therefore he knows, he feels, he can sympathize. Isn't that a precious promise? May the Lord use his word and my few words to comfort and encourage all of God's wounded lambs. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are such a wonderful good shepherd. And many of us can testify to how you have carried us through the most devastating issues of life. We want to thank you, good shepherd. We also want to volunteer to be your arms for others. And we pray for those that we know that are now wounded or will be wounded one day. We pray that you would go to them and stoop down and pick them up. Show them not only your strength, but your love. Prepare our hearts now, Lord, as we move into the part of our service where we remember what the Good Shepherd did for his sheep at the cross. In the name of the Good Shepherd, we pray. Amen.